And today's verse is a real testimony. A testimony is telling people what you believe, telling people the truth in you as you know it, and it's a great verse. And in our church, this year, we have a very short but powerful theme that says, not I, but Christ. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. And last week, we began with a verse, one verse, Luke 9:23. And I'm sure that you know it. If you don't know it, you can look on the front of your bulletin and you can read it. And I would like for us all this year, wow, this is hard to do maybe, but not impossible because all of us possess great intelligence, right? God has given us great possibilities in our intelligence and our intellect to do great things. And what I believe he wants us to do is to memorize a verse every week. Anybody good at math that can tell me how many verses that means for a year? Alex, I'm not going to put you on the spot. But, huh? There you go, see? Great intellect. Now think about the power that is in that number when you think about the Word of God. How many again? 366? Is that what you said? 366 memory verses. Can you do it? It's going to take, what is it going to take?
Discipline
and, what's going on back there? A week. Each week, if you want to do it. Yeah, you know, so maybe it's not that many, but, huh? 52. Okay, so 52 sounds a lot better, right? That's very possible. You know, you could memorize a chapter, and a lot of chapters have more than 52 verses in them. There's a guy I know who goes around, I don't know if he's still doing it, but he memorized the entire Gospel of John, and he goes and he speaks the Word of God, the whole Gospel of John, to people that come together and listen to it being spoken. It's very dramatic. Very powerful, right? But if we do that, then there's going to be great things that happen. I believe that that's what God wants us to do. So there's no more if. We're going to do that. And we can have those 52 verses. So it's on me also to remember to tell the guest speakers who come here that they have to prepare a memory verse for us when they come. Okay? And then so we'll have those verses, and we're all going to be doing it as a community of Christ, and it's going to be great. And each one of those is going to help us to build what? A witness, a testimony of who God is. We don't come up with it ourselves. It comes from God who loved us and gave his son for us. And that's the least that we can do, right? And it'll be fun, right? I mean, it's tense when you have to like try to say something in front of someone else, but if we make it fun and encouraging, right, to help each other through it, it'll be a real bonding kind of a thing too for us. And we'll see how God has taken us through this year if Jesus doesn't come back first. If we're here at this time of year again next year, then we'll be able to look back and say, wow, look at all those verses that God has given to us, all those witnesses that he's given to us in this way. So I want to tell you a story from the CMC, the Chinese conference that we attended a couple weeks ago now, and it's a witness that was shared with us. There was a missionary there. He was an older person. He and his wife had been serving for many years. I think it was over 35 or 36 years that he had been serving God on the field, and he said, my only regret is that I can't do it again, because he was so into sharing the Word of God with people and being a missionary. He's a very inspiring guy. He said, I believe that we as Christians spend too much time among other sheep. We are sheep among sheep, but actually we are called to go and to be serving among wolves. And so he was challenging us. It was very challenging, right? I mean, just to say that. You know, we are too safe, and we spend the majority of our time in safety around other Christians, but we are actually called to go out and to share the gospel to people who haven't heard it before. And there are wolves there. It's not easy because some people are against it. So he told a story about this man who was a Russian Christian, and he was persecuted. And he was thrown into prison for 17 years for his faith, just because he believed in Jesus. And so he was in prison for 17 years, and every day he did two things. He spoke with this missionary. Okay, so he lived through it. And what he told this missionary was, I did two things every day that I was in prison. Number one, when I got up in the morning, I sang a hymn. And he sang the same hymn over and over again for all those 17 years, every day that he got up, and he sang it loud. And the people in the prison, there were thousands of prisoners there, and they hated it. They were not these, you know, like other Christians. He was there among wolves, right? And so he just sang this song, but he didn't stop. And they jeered him, and they made fun of him, and they told him to stop, and they were sick of the thing, you know, all the time, hearing this hymn every day. So that was one of the things he did. The second thing he did during those 17 years, every day, was he would try to find a piece of paper, whatever kind of piece of paper he could find. This was not a nice prison, okay? This was a very hard place to live. He would get some kind of scrap of paper, and he would find some kind of means of writing on it, and he would write down a word from the Bible and post it up where people could see it. So he did those two things throughout his entire time there. Sang a song, the same hymn, every day for 17 years, and he posted the Word of God in places that people hopefully would see it. It came a time after those 17 years where they asked him again to deny his faith, and he refused, and they were tired of hearing that answer, and so they were going to kill him. Right? And so they took him from his cell, and they were leading him out to kill him for his faith. And the people, all the prisoners knew this. And when he walked out with the guards to be killed, thousands of these prisoners who heard him singing a hymn began with one voice to sing the words of the hymn that he sang. And the leaders of the prison pulled him aside and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ." And that is his witness. And that's a true story. And it's a person who lived, and he was released from prison because they saw the power of God and the Word of God in the hearts of other people when it is sung and when it is written and when it is shared with other people. That's an amazing story. That's an amazing witness. And that's what this verse is all about. I have been crucified with Christ. Right? I have been crucified with Christ. Can we have that? Can we take a look at that? It's just one verse, so let's keep it in front of us. I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul talking here. Okay? He's showing us what it means to be a Christian. He's saying, this is what my life is about now. This is the new me. This is the new person that is found in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And everybody who knows, even people that are not Christians that I know in my life, know that Jesus Christ was crucified. Right? I remember one time I had a voice student. He was a young man in high school, and he was taking a religion course, and he said, "Did they really do that to him?" And I said, "Yeah, they really did that to him." And so, you know, I know there are people that don't know Jesus in the world, but in our society, there are people that don't believe, but they do know that Jesus was crucified. And we know that Jesus was hung on a cross with nails through his hands and his feet, and he was killed on that cross. And that was a crucifixion. It was the worst means by which someone could be murdered, to pay for their sins, to pay for their misdeeds, for their crimes. The only difference is that Jesus had committed no crime, and he was crucified for your sins and my sins. That's what crucifixion is. And he's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. And so something has happened in Paul's life that he is sharing. I used to be this way, and this was me before, and you know that I used to actually kill or have Christians persecuted, but Jesus came into my life, and now I realize that I am crucified with Him. I believe in Him. I identify so much in Christ that I can say my life, as it was before Christ, is no more. It's crucified. It's dead. But the life that I have now, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's a new Paul. It's a new me. It's a new you when you believe in Jesus Christ. The old is gone and the new is come. It's a new year. And that's what we're talking about here, to have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit coming into us to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen? He's my Lord. And He died for me, for my sins, and set me free. And so I can say now, who am I? I am a person who has been crucified with Christ. My life as it was is no more. I am not alive. This old person is no longer alive. It's Christ who lives in me. Amen? Amen? And that is the way we begin our testimony, and it's not hard. We can do this, and that's the reason that we're memorizing these verses, so that we can say in those moments that God gives to us, and we want to seek them and be open to them and prepared for them every day, where we come in contact with someone who has a heavy heart, filled with anxiety, filled with the lowness of sin, bearing down on them, and to bring this good word to their lives. Instantly bringing good news into the world. Instantly bringing glad hearts into a heart that is heavy with anxiety. Right? And filling them with a good word. And the life I now live in the flesh, this continues the testimony, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, Christ, right? Who I just mentioned, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, isn't that easy? It really flows because it comes from His heart. Right? And He's spending time talking about these things and saying these things to us in His writings to help us to be able to formulate the testimony of God in us. What we want to do, everyone, is we want to be able to take these words and so ingest them and so much, spend so much time with them. Not just repeating them so that we can say the words by the end of the year, but that we are praying to God to grow inside of us more and more, and the other old us, the other person, to leave us. And it's more and more of Jesus. Just like we were singing today, that was a gift from God. These songs that were coming and teaching us, I want to love you, Jesus. That was an inspired song. There's a lot of songs that you hear, and they kind of go in one ear and out another ear. The kind of songs that are gripped by a person's testimony are ones that grab your attention. You could be driving, you could be thinking about a business deal, you could be thinking about how to get to this point or that point, or you're late or doing something like that, and you hear a song that is being sung with meaning in it, and words that have deeply touched someone, and all of a sudden you're like, I heard that. What was that? What was that line? What was that person saying in that song there? And that's the kind of song that we were singing this morning. It was one that someone was inspired through the Holy Spirit to write so that it would be a witness of the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. And it's powerful because it comes from God. It comes from someone whose life has been touched by Jesus in a real way. And they say, He's the one I'm living for. I fail a lot, believe me. You know, I was writing someone this week about something going on in their lives, and they were feeling that, you know, they were feeling a little bit guilty about things, and I said in response to them, let me tell you, let's get together and let me tell you about my failures, okay? Let's get together. Don't go there, okay? You don't need to go there and tell me you feel guilty about, you know, seeing me or talking to me, because I have done so many things in my life that have caused me pain and other people pain. We're all on the same level here. Let's talk about what is going to bring us together in God. Let's talk about what's going to bring us together into a community of Jesus Christ, right? This is His church. This is His body here. He's the head, and we are the body, and we come together as people who are broken, and we have lots of things that we can talk about in our lives that are part of our lives. Do you know that the worst things that have happened in your life and the worst things that you have done, God can work for His glory? He will do that, and that's the beauty of it. You know, He doesn't just take this perfect person and say, that's what I wanted, so I'm just going to have a bunch of them running around. He says, I'm taking these people who have lost their way, these lost sheep, and I'm going to bring them into my fold, and I'm going to love them to death. Right? We say that when we talk to someone that we really love a lot. I'm going to love you to death. I love you to pieces. You know? Where does it come from? It comes from a person who is lacking words to be able to put that love into words. Right? So people have to say stuff like, I'm going to love you to death. What? You're going to love me to death? You know, stay away. You know, love me a little less, okay? But you have to, this is what it's about, right? Is love. And wanting that. And that is what is so great about this. It takes the first part of this verse to get there, but the last part of this verse is really the meat of it, right? Why is it he's saying that I'm ready to be crucified with Christ? Why is he saying I don't want to be myself like I was before any longer, right? Why is it saying I want Christ to be living in me? It's because he says he loved me and he gave himself for me. We were praying downstairs before the service today, you know, and we were talking about this, that no one on the face of this earth can say that they're alone. No one on the face of this earth can say that they have not been loved. Because it says it right there. It says it right in God's Word. He said, I loved you and gave myself for you. Right? Let me share some words, and it's on your bulletin insert today, from Martin Luther. He wrote a very, very famous commentary on Galatians. And the words that he wrote here are just really, really heartfelt. It takes you into a different world back when he lived, you know, hundreds of years ago in Germany. But he was just like you and me. And this, I think it really helps for us to be able to read these words. So let me just read to you what Martin Luther said here. Did the law ever love me? Did the law ever sacrifice itself for me? Did the law ever die for me? On the contrary, it accuses me, it frightens me, it drives me crazy. Somebody else saved me from the law, from sin and death into eternal life, and that somebody is the Son of God, to whom be praise and glory forever. And that's what this verse is saying to Martin Luther, right? He was a person who was, let me just finish this. Read the words, me and for me, with great emphasis. Print this me with capital letters in your heart, and do not ever doubt that you belong to the number of those who are meant by this me. Do not ever doubt that you belong to the number of those who are meant by this me. Christ did not only love Peter and Paul, the same love he felt for them, he feels for us. If we cannot deny that we are sinners, we cannot deny that Christ died for our sins. Isn't that cool? Right? This is what this verse is saying to Martin Luther, and he's letting us know. This is his testimony. Right? That this is what he went through, that he was beating himself up with the law, and I've got to do more, I've got to do better, I've got to do all these things, you know, and that was what his life was about. And then he was touched by these words, for me, God loved me, and he gave himself for me. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you're having a bad day, recall to mind these verses that we're learning. This one especially, it's for you. And all of a sudden your day is turned from a heavy one filled with gray and darkness into one that is with gladness and victory and love. And that's what our faith is all about. That is what we want to share with other people. Right? We want to share our lives with people. And if we don't have, if you find yourself saying, it's hard for me to talk about love, then don't fret. Because you will not be able to stop yourself when you are touched by God and His love. No one can avoid it when you're being loved like that. God is going to love you to death. He's going to love you like you've never been loved before. He's going to come into your life and He's going to take away the doubts where you're feeling like, oh, I'm not as good as those other people, or I've done too many things in my life and I've hurt people, or people have hurt me and things like that. That is God's territory. That is where He thrives. That is where He wants to be, right? That is where God says, I'm coming in. And I know that you may be saying, I want to hear it right now, Lord, because we don't like to say that we're loved when we're holding on to things that are making us feel bad in life or mad in life or something frustrated in life or like, I don't want you to love me. And He's saying, I'm never going to stop. And you can't stop me because that's what your life is about. And without me, you're not going to be happy, and I want you to be happy. And without me in your life, you're not going to be satisfied, and I want you to be satisfied. And you don't feel like you can say that you love somebody right now, but I'm going to teach you how to do it. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. What a teacher we have in Jesus. He lives by example, right? He doesn't just teach us the words and then take off to go to heaven to be with the Father. He puts His life on the line, and that's what we're going to be celebrating and enjoying together. The fact that Jesus loves us today when we celebrate communion. Right? That's what it's all about. That's what communion is all about. It's coming together as a community to say, wow, what an amazing Savior we have. You can run, but you can't hide from love of God. It's too powerful. So why are you doing it? Give up. Amen? Give up your life. Give up all of it. You know? So that it's no longer you living, but Christ in you. And then when you start to say these things to people, it might be in a song, it might be in a prayer, it might be in a, I don't know, it could be something where you don't even mention it that way, but somebody feels it, right? They feel that God is speaking to them through you. There's all kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does in amazing ways, coming in His own way to reach people in the way that they need to be reached. Amen? We are all varied. We're all different. But God knows each one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows before you were born. He knows when you're going to die. He knows everything. He knows you. And it's not something that we're fearing in our hearts. It's something that we embrace because He is love. God is love, taught John in his letter. God is love. So run to Him. And you can grab as much as you want of Him. He's all yours. He wants to be yours. Right? He says that in His word here, to us here. There's another testimony that I want to talk about today. It comes from a hymn. Would you mind bringing up the responsive hymn? It's probably easier if we just read that. A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson, we sang a hymn of his last week, Not I, But Christ. And he wrote a number of really great hymns. Do you know Nyack College? Have you heard of Nyack College in Rockland County? Rockland County, Nyack College is a college that was founded on the beliefs of A.B. Simpson. I mean, he was a very strong Christian. It's the Missionary Alliance Church, right? And he was the one who founded that church. And so we have that before us, right? And so here's a man, and he shared these kind of hymns. So let's see the first slide. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Next one. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. And so as he goes on through these verses, let's go to the next one. Once 'twas painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once a half salvation, now the uttermost. Once was ceaseless holding, now he holds me fast. Once 'twas constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Let's go to the next verse. Once 'twas busy planning, now it's trustful prayer. Once was anxious caring, now he has the care. Once was what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once was constant asking, now it's ceaseless praise. Amen? Next one. Once it was my working, his it hence shall be. Once I tried to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for him alone. There's one more verse. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know he's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now his coming hail, and my hopes are anchored safe within the veil. Amen? That, brothers and sisters, is a testimony of Jesus Christ in the life of a person, and he wrote it down so that we could sing it and relate to it. It grabs our attention because, man, Jesus is real. And he grips a life, and he changes them so that it's no longer I, but it's Christ. And that's what we have, is an exciting theme in front of us. And all these verses that God has prepared, I don't even know what they are yet, but they are there, and they're coming, and they're all the ones that God wants you and me, as members of this church, and we are connected in his church, to do together, and to memorize, and to tell other people in the ways that God brings it about. It may be in a dance, it may be in a song, it may be in a poem, it might be in another way. It could be in whatever way God chooses to use you with all the gifts that you have. But God is going to use you if you only give him your time and spend time in his word and seek his will for your life. And he will do it. Because he did it in his life. You understand? And he did it in Paul's life. And he did it in Martin Luther's life. And he did it in my life. And he did it in many of your lives. I know that you have a belief in Jesus Christ. And so it's waiting for that moment. And that moment is now. It has arrived. It is not a day to come. It is now this day, January 12, 2020, in this place that God wants us to take that word and go and spread the gospel. Amen? And so that's what we're going to do. So let's sing this song as we prepare for communion. We're going to sing Himself. It's about Him, not about the things that we can get from God. It's God Himself that we want. Amen?